We read one last time from 1 Samuel 17. Tonight our reading is, we'll begin with verse 32. And we'll read to the end of the chapter, verse 58, 32 through 58. Text is verses 45 through 54. 45 through 54, and of course we won't reread that. We pay careful attention to the details of that section of the chapter. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." As far we read in God's holy word. Beloved people of God, there is a war that is carried on between the covenant friends of God and the enemies of God. That war has been going on since the Garden of Eden. It's an ancient war. That war will continue until our Lord will return to trample all the enemies of God into utter and final defeat. Until then, the battle will rage. That means, of course, then, that we are also involved in this battle. We are fighting in this battle. By God's grace, we stand on His side. Apart from God's grace, we would find ourselves on the other side. We would find ourselves allied with the devil and the other enemies of God. But by God's grace, He's taken us unto Himself and we stand on His side. We've been gathered to Himself to be His friends, to fight in His army. And He has put enmity between the enemies, His enemies, and ourselves. They stand antithetically opposed to God. They stand antithetically opposed to God's people, ourselves, His friends. This is, of course, an aspect of the great antithesis that God has made among men and in the world, and which God also controls. The text that we consider this evening shows us one of the battles in this antithetical war. We hear of a battle again between David and Goliath. David, the friend of God, the man whose name means beloved, the man whom God loved, the man after God's own heart, over against enemy of God, one of the Philistines, one of those outside of the covenant, uncircumcised Philistine, the great and mighty one as earthly power goes, but an enemy of God all the same. At the same time, this event, this battle between David and Goliath is typical of the decisive battle in this war. It's a type, it's a picture of the great battle, the decisive battle The battle between David and Goliath was not the decisive battle, but it pointed to that decisive battle. And this battle between David and Goliath also provides instruction and comfort and encouragement to us as we are engaged in this battle. We're called as God's people to look at our fighting in this week. As we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table, we must look at our fighting. Fighting is a characteristic of the people of God. An essential characteristic. Really, only those engaged in the battle of faith, fighting against the Lord's enemies, have the right to come to the table of the Lord. And we come to the table of the Lord to receive unto ourselves more strength and to be better equipped for the fight, for the battle that we are engaged in. And so we need to hear the message of the text tonight to help us and to set us on the right track as we examine ourselves in this week. And the message we hear in the text tonight is victory. That's the message. Victory. Victory is announced from the front lines of God's forces. David has had the victory over Goliath. We are sure, assured also of the victory in David's greatest son. We consider then the text under the theme, Victory Against Goliath. Victory against Goliath. First of all, by the Lord's power, victory against Goliath was secured by the Lord's power. Secondly, for a holy purpose. And thirdly, with a triumphant promise. Or to help better remember the 3 points, we can think of them this way, with power, so long as we understand the power isn't David's power, but the Lord's power, with purpose, and with promise. Defiance against God had been spoken by the enemy of God, Goliath. David had heard that defiant word against God, those defiant words against God and against God's people, against Israel. And David found that defiance of the enemy of God, Goliath, to be impermissible. He could not allow that to go on unchallenged and undefeated. He had determined then to fight Goliath. He was going to fight Goliath as the way the child of God always must fight in the battles of the Lord, by faith. Faith in God. Faith in God's promises. Faith in God's Word. And encouraged and emboldened with that faith, he went forward to fight. He went forward also with wisdom. We saw he chose himself 5 smooth stones. 5 to be wise. God had not spoken any specific promise as to how many stones it would take. God always speaks the same way. He says, as we go forward in faith against the enemies, we are assured of the victory. But He doesn't always tell us how the battle will go, what expense will be ours in the battle. So David prepared himself, smooth stones, so that they would fly straight and be accurate. So he used the best of his ability to fight against Goliath. But for all that, he went forward in faith, trusting God would give him the victory. He stepped onto the battlefield. Goliath took a look at him and instantly disdained this challenger to his great strength. Goliath says, "Do you come to me with sticks? Am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks?" He evidently noticed the staff that David had taken and that he carried in his hand. He says, you come to me without real weapons. That was his point. Here I stand with a shield and a sword and an armor and a spear. I am well armed. And you come to me with a stick. You ought to respect me, my power and my strength. You ought to come against me as a worthy opponent and a worthy challenger. Goliath said, as it were, I come to you with real power, and you come to me with none. I'm huge, I'm well armed, I'm a seasoned warrior, and you are nothing. And come to me with nothing. David certainly could not allow those words to go unanswered. David responded with the words of verse 45 and 46 of the text. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. I recognize that. Come to me with the weapons of man's strength. You come to me with weapons that you put your trust in. I recognize that. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth. And with those words, David put his hand into his bag of sling stones, took one out, stones that were used for that sort of purpose were often about 2 to 3 inches in diameter, good-sized stone with some good weight to it. Put the stone in the sling, and a sling was basically a long strap of leather widened a little bit in the center so there was a place for the stone to rest, and one would wrap that sling in two so that he'd hold the two ends of the sling. The stone would be in that center section, a little pouch for it. And he swung the sling. Sometimes it's spoken of as a man swinging a sling around and around and around his head. Very likely swung it perhaps once. Maybe not even a full swing, not much more than that was needed to bring the stone up to full velocity before it would be released. Swinging around and around and around would only expend more energy and be useless. Very quickly then, this all occurred. David's putting the stone in the sling, swinging, releasing the stone, letting go of one end of the sling so that the sling opened up and the stone flew straight and accurate, probably flying up to 100 miles an hour, some estimate even faster than that, whizzing through the air. The stone struck the Philistine in his forehead. The scripture tells us it sank into his forehead. It broke the skull, hardest part of a human body. Broke his skull, sank into his head, and the Philistine sank to the ground, fell to the earth, dead, dead. David ran to him. David drew out the Philistine's own sword. He had none of his own. He'd come only with a sling and some stones, but really the name of the Lord was his weapon. He pulled out the sword of the Philistine and cut off the head of Goliath, and held the head up in triumphant victory. Victory, it was in the name of the Lord. You remember, that's what David said, and that's the central point of the whole story. There was victory for David in the name of the Lord. He had said to Goliath, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, not with all kinds of fancy weaponry. This slinging at stones, as lethal as it is, that's all I have. I don't have anything else. I don't have any other backup. And I'm not even trusting in this slinging stones. I'm trusting in my God. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. David refers to God as the Lord of hosts. He's speaking of God as the great and sovereign God. The God who is sovereign over all things. Hosts refers to armies, as we read of the armies of men often referred to as hosts. When we hear of God as the Lord of hosts, that means not only that God is the Lord over Israel as an army, as a host of soldiers, but it means God is the sovereign God and has everything under His control. Everything in the creation. The sovereign God who controls the angels, who controls the demons, who controls the weather of this world, who controls the great and mighty men, who controls the little things and the smallest creatures, the sparrows and the hairs of one's hat, and employs all of these things to His own purpose and unto His own victory. Who uses all these things as the Lord over them all, as the God over them all, the God over all the hosts of this world, using them all to serve His purpose, willingly or unwillingly, to fight His battles and give the victory unto His own. I come to Thee in the name of that God, that great sovereign Lord of hosts, David said. He does not say, I come to thee in the power of the Lord of hosts, although certainly that's what's meant, but he says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Meaning, I come to you as a representative of the Lord of hosts. I come to you as one who's had the name of God revealed unto him. I know God, unlike you, Goliath. God has revealed His name unto me. I know Him, and He knows me. I belong to Him. I am His covenant son. And therefore, I come to you as His representative. When you fight with me, David said, you really fight with God. That's the battle this day, Goliath. Not a giant and a young man, but the enemy of God will fight with the Lord, as the Lord is on my side. That idea of the name of the Lord is brought out very nicely in Numbers chapter 6, verse 27. There we read the Lord's word, and He says, and they... And that's Aaron and his sons, the priests. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel. What does that mean? The children of Israel, David included, had the Lord's name upon them. God gives us a clear idea of what that means in the very next phrase. He says, and I will bless them. But that's spelled out even more so in the context. For verse 27 of Numbers 6 is in the context of the Aaronic blessing that we hear at the end of our worship service, even tonight, which we use regularly. It's a blessing upon us as God's people today. Read of that in verse 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And then verse 27, and they shall put my name in this way, by giving this blessing unto my people, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. We can look at just this phrase to understand it as it applies especially to David. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord send His blessing upon thee, upon His people. God had given His blessing unto David. That is, the smile of His face was upon David. His grace was upon David, not upon Goliath, not upon the Philistine. God was with him. And then, because of that, God would keep him according to that promise and that blessing as well. Which is, God will guard him. That's what that word keep means. As we hear that blessing at the end of our worship service, we ought to think of that too. God is saying to us, God is speaking. God is saying to us through that blessing, I will bless you. I will guard you. Keep you from all enemies. Protect you from all those who seek to destroy you. I am your keeper. I am your God. Invincible is your protection. David came to Goliath with that all in mind. I come to you, he said to his enemy, under the protection of the Almighty God, my Father, my friend, who's blessed me with His grace. And it was exactly God's grace and God's power, God's keeping that kept David and guarded him. And what gave also David the victory, because God loved him and blessed him, Jesus Christ, who would come to save him. Providentially, God directed all the events of that battle that day, as brief, momentary as the battle really was. God directed providentially all of it. God graciously emboldened David, steadied his hand and directed his aim with the courage and boldness and calmness of faith that filled David's heart as he thought upon God's blessing and God's promise. God, with that stone, crushed the head of Goliath and killed him. All of that is a message about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only a story of an ancient young Jewish boy and a gigantic Philistine. It's a story of Jesus Christ we find here in 1 Samuel 17. Goliath represents the enemies of Israel, all of the enemies of Israel, and Israel in the broadest sense, the whole church of Jesus Christ, all of God's elect people. Goliath represents those enemies. Goliath then represents sin. Goliath represents death. Goliath represents the devil and all those who are allied with the devil. The reprobate, the demons, all the enemies of God. Jesus Christ was a representative warrior, as was David. Well, all the Israelites cowered there, unable to fight. And it was made blatantly clear after 40 days, twice a day, Goliath had come out and presented himself to fight, and no one was able. God raised up David and set him forth before Goliath and said, here is the representative of Israel. He will fight. As God also did with the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is able to save himself. No one is able to defeat his enemies. No one is able to bring down the power of Satan, to break the hold of death, to destroy the enslaving power and damning power of sin. No one but Jesus Christ, God's representative for His people. Our Lord Jesus engaged those enemies. He did so on the cross. He said, as it were, over against all of our enemies, His enemies too, and God's enemies. Those are always the same, of course. If we view things properly, we ought never have enemies that are not God's enemies. All of God's enemies are Christ's enemies, and Christ's enemies are our enemies. And Jesus Christ stood before all of those enemies and said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. And He came to them, our enemies and His enemies. Came to them with the sling and the stone of humble obedience. Voluntary sacrifice. What strange weapons indeed to bring to the battle, we would say. Man's wisdom would say. Came over against the glittering weapons of man. Over against the pride and the strength of man. Over against man's unity and man's agreement. As all those stood in agreement. As all of those cried out, crucify Him! Crucify Him! And Herod and Pilate even became friends in their agreement and unity over against Jesus Christ. All of their unity and all of their power and all of their consensus stood over against one who humbly obeyed God and voluntarily sacrificed Himself to suffer in order that in that suffering He would win the victory. And so He did. The enemy fell. Satan was toppled, his head crushed in by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's true, beloved. It's true, you understand now. We need to hear that tonight. We need to hear that by faith that needs to be declared to us. The victory in that great battle of the ages, the decisive victory in that whole war has been won. We have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. We do. He's accomplished it for us. And as our representative warrior, the Spirit of the victor has been poured out into us. As He fought, so then we fight. It's the way it is for God's people. That's why we fight against sin. That's why we are engaged in the battle. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty victor, the mighty warrior, but also victor, has poured out His Spirit into us, equipping us, empowering us, and moving us onto the battle. So that we too fight. It may seem too sometimes that we fight against overwhelming odds. So we see the giant size of our enemies and the great power, it seems, of our enemies. We remind ourselves, even as David did and the Lord Jesus did, those with God are always in the majority. It was something that our founder, the one used by God, to found our churches, Reverend Hoeksma, often said too. Those with God are always in the majority. Whether they be few in number, whether there are many against them, they stand with God. They have the power and the strength of the Almighty God on their side. And so do we, as we fight against our mighty foes, against our Goliaths, as we fight against Satan. Look at that matchup. most powerful demon, there he stands over against us with pure hatred seeking to destroy us. And here we are, little frail human beings. We stand over against him unafraid. We stand confident of the victory. We stand over against the ungodly world. We do. Again, look at ourselves. Look at our small size compared to all the great powers of this world. And as they gather today and they shake hands and they smile and they nod and they endorse themselves in their sin and they agree, that's the way it ought to be. And as they begin to murmur and soon will say very plainly, even shouting in our face, those who speak as you do speak hate and must be eliminated and removed from having a place in productive, good society. As we stand over against that ungodly world, we stand unflinchingly, confidently to fight, to win the victory, confident of that victory as well. And so we stand also against the Goliath of our own sinfulness. What a mighty, mighty power that is too. And how often we feel the steel arm of our sinfulness seeking to wrestle us to the ground, choke us and destroy us. So too, against our own sinfulness, we say, I will fight. I will fight. I will fight in the name of the Lord of hosts. And I am assured of the victory. But so too do we engage the enemy, our enemies, with sling and stones. Not earthly weapons. Not with human power, not by our own strength, our own determination, not by the power of manipulation, not by consensus, not by much agreement of other people, but with the sling and stones of repentance. That's the weapon God has put in our hand. That's the way that we fight. Not the way men would, not with a proud, haughty look upon our faces and with a firmly set chin, boasting in our own confidence and in our own might, but we fight in the battle of faith by repenting of our sins. Come to the Lord and we confess, I was wrong. I've done wrong. I've sinned against Thee. Whatever sin it is, in the end it's always sin against God. And we confess it as such. That's how we fight. We fight with humble obedience to God. Again, not with all the glittering weapons of man and all of that ingenuity of our mind or our good works, as to present before our enemies to say, by these I will defeat you, but by humble obedience to our God. He says, believe, I will believe. He says to love my brother, even the one who has injured me, I will love the brother. He says to love him, to trust him, even in this horrible storm, this fearful way, I will trust him. We go forward to fight with his weapons, trusting in him alone. And we fight all the while with those weapons. We fight in the name of the Lord. We fight by the power of God. It's by the power of God that we are able to conquer our enemies. Look at that guilt that comes against you, that guilt which says you are liable to everlasting punishment. How shall we fight against that? How shall we overcome that guilt? By repentance, yes. By confessing it, that's how. But we can only do that by the power of our God, who works that repentance in us. How do we go forward in the fight, assured of God's blessing? We go in the way of obedience, but only as the power of God works that obedience in us. And only as the power of God draws us along that way of obedience unto Him. In the name of the Lord of hosts, assured of His blessing, assured that God is our guardian. God will keep us. God will bless us and keep us, even as we are by Christ, His covenant friends and children. Then we fight assured of the victory too. As David fought, certain, before Goliath even fell, David was certain that Goliath would be brought to destruction. So too with our Lord Jesus Christ, before our sins were even wiped away, before the devil's head was crushed, He was confident. He knew it would be difficult, but He was confident He would have the victory. So do we go forward, confident of our victory, facing the Goliaths set before us, and felling them one after another in the name of the Lord as His beloved people. We fight assured of the victory as David did, but we fight assured of the victory also as the men of Israel did. We notice how that went in verses 52 and 53. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. There we find also type for us of ourselves. We see ourselves in those men of Israel, and we see in David our Lord Jesus Christ. As our Lord steps forward onto the battlefield and does battle with our enemies and strikes the decisive blow and the enemy falls down and is destroyed, then we, with a shout of victory, rush forward, follow Him into the battle. We say, He has won. He has destroyed the enemy. He's brought down their mighty champion. We come along to mop up after Him. Not by our own strength, in His strength, emboldened and encouraged to fight in the wake of our great Savior and Victor. We do so, beloved, with holy purpose, as David did, and as our Lord Jesus Christ did. David speaks of his purpose in verse 46. I will give thee and the hosts of the Philistines to the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's our goal, ultimately. Why else would we fight? The world may know, that all the world may know, that there is a God in our church and in our lives. That's why we fight. Not simply because we love victory, not simply because we are a people who are rather bloodthirsty and we like to fight about things and we like to argue and we like to stand against others. Not at all. That spirit ought never be in us. In fact, we fight for the glory of our God. We fight that others may know That all the world, in fact, may know that there is a God in Israel, and that God gives His people the victory. He is the true God, the only God. Really, that battle in the Valley of Elah that day between David and Goliath was a battle between Jehovah and Goliath's gods. Goliath's gods by which he cursed David, even as David approached him. And it must be known, there is no God but Jehovah. There is no God but our God. He must be glorified as the only God there is. And our God as well. Verse 47, David also speaks of his purpose. Verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." David's concern was, first of all, that everyone may know that God alone is God, and He is Israel's God. He is found in the midst of His church, and He is the safe protector, victory giver unto His church. But secondly, he wanted all the world to know that it is not by human strength and not by human power that the victory is won. The victory is won God's way, by God's power and God's strength. Again, so that God may receive all the glory and all the praise. That's how we fight too. That's how our Lord Jesus fought, and it was with that purpose that He fought. He fought that the Lord might be known, that the Lord God Almighty would be glorified in His church. He fought so that all the world would know, elect and reprobate alike, would know whether they enjoyed confessing it or not, would know that there is a God in Israel. God gives the victory to His people. And that God's victory is won not through human strength, but by His strength and His way. And so do we. That all the world may know there is a God in Israel. That all the world may know there is a God in our church. Not that we may glorify ourselves, but that we may glorify the God of our church and the God of our soul. We confront the enemy, expose them for what they are. Not that we might win, that God might receive the glory. And in that way it may be known, God is God alone. Must remember that today, beloved. Part of the tactic of the world is to tell us don't fight, don't argue, don't make big issues over this or over that. These things separate. You ought to tolerate. You ought not condemn this or call that sin. You ought not fight in this way. But we say, we must say, cannot compromise. Cannot tolerate ungodliness and that which stands over against God. So long as you stay there, and so long as you maintain that ungodly position about our God, I am against you. I must be, for the glory of my God. That all may know that there is a God in Israel and that He delivers, not by sword or spear, but by His mighty strength. We do not say to the world, let's see if we can work it out and somehow through compromise and a little give and take on each side become friends in the end. We do not try to understand, nor did David try to understand, how Goliath is some kind of a victim and after all can't be held responsible for the way that he conducts himself. Nor do we. Against God's enemies. We say, for the glory of our God, we engage them. For the glory of our God, we fight. That all may know, God is God in His church. And that all the world may know, and that His church may know, that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle, the victory, is the Lord's. And then we hear the promise of the text as well. Verse 54, David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. Those words are words of promise. Jerusalem at that time was not a city owned and controlled by Israel. It had not yet been conquered by David, who would conquer it later on. It was still a stronghold of those who lived within it, the Jebusites who stood over against Israel. It was still their stronghold. David took the head of Goliath over to Jerusalem, as it were, to say unto them, "You see this? This is what will become of you. I will take this city in the name of the Lord of hosts, that it may be His, that all may know He saves by His power alone." And he put Goliath's armor in his tent so as to assure himself, reassure himself of that great victory God had given to him, so as he would be reassured to go forward in the battle, continuing to fight, assured the promise of God. "I've given you this great battle by my strength and by my strength alone. Go forward now in the power of that encouragement and fight all the battles of the Lord and take the land unto Him." David fought with that promise. He gained great victories. No king greater than David as a warrior and as a type of Jesus Christ, the warrior for God's people. And so that too also typifies our Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered Goliath. Conquered the Goliath of sin and Satan and death upon the cross. Crushed the head of the serpent. Gained to himself a great victory, not as if that was the only victory or the last victory, but that was a promise of many victories to come. He went forward from there and he continues to go forward from that great victory even today, leading on the hosts of God's people and gaining to himself one victory after another, never to be defeated. Never. Not even once is the Lord Jesus defeated. The battlefield of history. From one victory to another. And so too is our promise the same. We can go to, and we do, from victory to victory. It's following the champion of Israel, our Lord Jesus Christ, David's glorious Son, our Savior, our mighty Victor. We go from victory to victory in the battle of faith, beloved, all the way to the end, whether that be the end of our days here upon this earth, or whether that be the day in which the Lord Jesus Christ appears upon the clouds of heaven to finally at last crush all of His enemies and put to silence all those to seek to stand opposed to Him. At last, to shut the mouths of those defiant enemies who speak out boldly and proudly against Him and His church. That is His victory, final victory, and that too is ours. That's God's promise. That's God's sure and certain promise. Beloved, is the battle wearisome? Do you grow tired as you fight? Do you at times despair? Are you tempted to surrender? Remember God's promise. Remember God's sure and certain promise. The Lord Jesus, our King, has had the victory. He will give us the victory, one after another, and finally, ultimately, take us and gather us into the church triumphant, where nevermore there shall be war or battles. Are you fighting? Carry on. In the name of the Lord, by the power and the strength of the Lord. And if not, if you're not fighting, rise up with a shout of victory. We hear the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rise up. Join Him in the battle. Assured, certain of your victory. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for assuring us that the battle is Thine and the victory is Thy Son's. And in Him is ours with absolute certainty. We pray, Father, give us to fight for the glory of Thy name, consecrated unto Thee, consecrated unto Thy glory. Give us to fight in Thy way, trusting in Thee, believing in Thee, and confident in Thee and Thy strength to secure us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Give us grace in this week to examine ourselves, to be encouraged and strengthened by the victorious cross of our Savior Jesus Christ, so that in the power of that cross and the shout of triumph heard in His resurrection, we may go forward emboldened to the battle, strengthened in the fight, to win for the glory of Thy name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.